With God's Word open, let's all bow in a word of prayer. Father, I thank You that Jesus loves sinners and that He came into the world to die for sinners. He laid down His life for those who are unlovely, those who are undeserving of the least of Thy blessings. We have the smile of God resting upon us even this morning. And what a joy that warms our hearts to know that God smiles at us now. He's no longer frowning. He's no longer angry. He's no longer agitated with us. But He smiles because we are in union with Christ. And Father, we know that there's so many in the world that choose to turn away from the Lord. They would rather follow their own wisdom, their own ways. And we pray, Father, that Thou would arrest sinners where they are. Save them from themselves. Lord, we know we're powerless to save sinners, but we do have the channel of prayer to pray for them and to intercede for them. And we know, Lord, that You save, but we can pray. And help us, Father, to be men and women who pray for the lost, who pray for the perishing, who pray for those who do not pray for themselves. We ask Thee, Father, that Jesus Christ might save, and that He might save for His honor and for His glory. So remember us today, Lord, as I read the Word and as I preach. Lord, help me not to be filled with my ideas so much, but Lord, help me to be filled with the Spirit of God and to be anointed afresh to preach, thus saith the Lord. Help Thy Word as it goes forth to be applied as the Holy Spirit would do so. We just pray, Father, for every heart to sense the leading of the Lord in their hearts and to know that the Lord is here with us now. So, Lord, take our thanks for this time. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Kings chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, "Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." And one went in and told his Lord, saying, "Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel." And the king of Syria said, Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel." And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy." And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore, consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me." And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, "Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, "Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to see, and thou shalt be clean." But Naaman was wroth, and went away, and said, "Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me, and stand, and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place, and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, "My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, 'Wash and be clean'? Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Amen. We know that the Lord will add his blessing to his word for his name's sake. Now, the healing of Naaman the leper is not just a story of the healing of a man from one of the most dreaded diseases of ancient times, but it is a story of salvation, one which illustrates the salvation man comes to find only in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Naaman's healing, there are a variety of people who play different parts, some good and vital to the salvation and healing of Naaman, and others not so good. All illustrate the various good and evil persuasions of people that either aid or hinder bringing men to the Lord. As we step into this scene here in 2 Kings chapter 5, we leave the land of Israel, a nation that was to be a light to the Gentiles and a nation of priests. And we step into Syria, to the north, a heathen, pagan nation, surrounded in darkness, a place of idolatry and heathen blindness. And in these verses, there is an anticipation of the gospel that would go out from Israel through Messiah and then out from the church carrying the light of Jesus Christ to the Gentile nations. Now, Naaman's healing was an example of what God would later do in the ministry of the Lord Jesus and in His church. Here then is a classic picture of God's love and how the Lord reaches out to sinners in utter darkness and uses their afflictions to draw them to Himself and to the work of grace wherein God seeks to bring men to repentance. Naaman's road to salvation is a fitting illustration of how God saves every sinner who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, the title of my message is simply entitled, Naaman's Path to Salvation. Naaman's Path to Salvation. And there are four observations I'd like to consider this morning. First, Naaman's path started with a terrible discovery. Naaman's path started with a terrible discovery. You could say that Naaman had it all. He had fame and fortune. He was highly favored before his king. He was the general of the powerful Syrian army and considered a national hero. But one day he made a terrible discovery. It might have happened on the battlefield or at home. He found blotches on his body. He watched it closely. His condition worsened. He went to his physician and his worst fears were realized. Naaman was a leper. It was his death sentence. According to God's law, the leper was considered unclean and had to be isolated from society. Wherever he went, he was to cry out, unclean, unclean, and live outside the city walls. True leprosy was incurable by man in Bible times, just as sin is incurable for man. We read in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Now, the phrase desperately wicked could be translated desperately sick, beyond cure, or incurably sick. We read in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 6, from the sore of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. And there's nothing man himself can do to deal with his sin problem. Furthermore, his sin separates him from God. When the Lord healed a leper, therefore, the picture should have been obvious. His power to cleanse a leper demonstrated he was the solution to man's sin and defilement. He alone was and is the means of reconciliation, peace with God and man. See, leprosy, like sin, begins within, with what we are, and then erupts on the skin, on the surface. As such, it clearly reminds us of the principle that men are, by an inherited nature, sinners. And that it's not just what we do that is so bad, but what we are by nature. The point is, the mouth speaks and hands do as a result of what the heart is and thinks. And even the slightest blemish when it came to leprosy in the skin, a swelling, a boil, a scab, a small tumor, a bright spot, a red scaly place, was to be carefully observed to see if it was the product of something deeper, that is, some form of true leprosy. The pain of leprosy, at least in certain forms, was not acute because it also killed the nerves in the affected area. But it kept the victim restless, miserable, and frustrated as they felt the stigma of the disease. They saw portions of their bodies become numb, muscles wasted away, tendons contract, making the hands like claws, and then the ulceration of the fingers and toes and hands and feet, resulting in their loss bit by bit until the whole hand or foot was gone. We must not miss the picture of God. What picture God wants us to see from the emphasis here in Scripture. Sin is like this, like leprosy. Because of man's separation from God, because of his spiritually dead condition and the hardness of his soul, he becomes insensitive. He becomes calloused, restless, and never satisfied. He often does not experience severe pain from his sin and waywardness, only insensitivity, restless misery and futility, ever seeking some means of fulfillment, running from one thing to another. Even in apparent prosperity and happiness, not only is there a certain amount of inner peace and true happiness missing, but their ultimate plight is death, loss, and the judgment of separation. And I think that leprosy really shows the characteristics of sin in the life of an unbeliever. How many people do we know today that are in this condition of insensitivity, of callousness, and they don't even know it? And they may be prospering from an outward point of view. They may be okay. They may have good health, and they may be doing quite well for themselves. But we see, as loved ones concerned for their souls, a disinterest in the things of Christ, a hardness, a callousness. Oh, that God might take that callousness from the heart of sinners and give them a heart of sensitivity to the things of God. Maybe you're here today, and is your heart callous, or is it concerned for the things of God? Are you sensitive or insensitive to the Lord's leading in your life? We need to understand that God often uses the personal failures, sicknesses, and problems of men as a means to bring them to the end of themselves and to a knowledge of the Lord and His salvation. Maybe you're here today and that's how the Lord worked in your life. He brought you to an end of yourself. He showed you something that you required you to call upon Him. Because the thing that you were going through, the circumstance, or perhaps the suffering that you were experiencing was just too great for you. It was too overwhelming to you. And you cried out to the Lord for help. Well, this is the situation that we see here in Naaman. Naaman realized that he was in a position where he had a condition that he couldn't help himself with. He was powerless. And he needed help. He needed it quickly. He needed it urgently. He needed help from the Lord. And God uses problems in life to force us to face our deeper problems, doesn't He? The problem of sin and the need of God's forgiveness and salvation in Jesus Christ. Isn't that a prayer that we would dare to pray to the Lord for someone who we know is lost, that the Lord save them, that the Lord shake them up? Maybe it would take something perhaps that we would consider tragic or something that would be considered traumatic in the life to wake the sinner up from his sleep. Wouldn't you rather have your loved one go through something terrible like that and call upon the name of the Lord than to continue in their course of callousness and insensitivity? Wouldn't you want them to see the reality of their sin before God And they may have to take an illness. They may have to take a sickness. They may have to take something tragic to bring them to realize that they need the Lord. They need the Lord to come and do a work of grace in their hearts. Whatever it takes, Lord, have mercy upon the sinner. And the Lord uses things like this to bring men and women to the end of themselves. Have you made this discovery in your own heart? This discovery that Naaman made? Naaman discovered he was a leper. But have you made the discovery of sin in your heart? Do you have the consciousness of sin in your life? Do you realize that you have sin that reigns, that lives in your heart, and that you have to do something about it? Or do you just try to ignore it? You just kind of sweep it underneath the rug, if you will, and you just pretend that it's not there. Or you try to convince yourself that, you know, I'm really not that bad. Did you hear the words of Jeremiah? Did you hear the words of Isaiah? No, we're like putrefying sores. Our sin is an abomination before the Lord. And we need to be conscious of that. And we need to be able to realize that and be convicted of that. And also, we need help. We need the Lord to take away that sin. We need that Lord to deal with our sin. God, give us that sensitivity to the Lord's dealing in our hearts. The path to salvation begins with a terrible discovery. The bad news is that all men and women, boys and girls, are sinners. But there isn't all bad news in the life of Naaman. There isn't all bad news in this story. Naaman was encouraged with good news. And that is the second part of his path to salvation. He had to experience the bad news. He had to realize that he was a leper. He had to realize that he needed the Lord. And once he discovered the bad news of his true condition before God, then he was ready for the good news. And what was the good news for Naaman? Well, we read it in 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 2 and 3. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, "Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." Naaman received a glimmer of hope from a little Jewish maiden girl. She told the wife of Naaman about a prophet in Israel who could heal Naaman of his leprosy. Soon word of this traveled to Naaman himself. Ironically, it was probably Naaman who led the attack against Israel that resulted in the little girl being taken from her home and separated from her mother and father to a strange and foreign land to be a slave. Such adverse circumstances could have left the Jewish girl bitter and sullen, silent, hateful. Naaman got what was coming to him, so she could have reasoned to herself. However, this little girl didn't have that type of spirit. She didn't have that attitude. She actually applied the words of Christ in Matthew 5, verse 44. "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, and do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." This little Jewish maiden had no name, and we never hear from her again. But she triggered a sequence of events that led to the salvation of Naaman. I like what one Bible commentator observes about this person here. Here we see how the Lord always has His messengers of the Word. When there's a person whose heart has been prepared, God always has His messengers. Here, God's messengers begin with a little captive slave girl. In fact, by His matchless grace, God worked through the unrighteous deeds of Naaman's own army to bring this little slave girl into His own home to be the instrument of God's love. But what kind of messenger does God use? He uses those who are available, those who know and love the Lord. Here was a small girl, humble, obedient, and insignificant to men, living under dire conditions. She was a girl using the problems of life as opportunities or as open doors to witness for God. Although small, weak, and insignificant, this little girl knew the omnipotent and sovereign Lord of Israel. She was willing to point her enemies to the true God of the universe, who alone could cure Naaman's disease. Why do you suppose Naaman listened to her? After all, what could a slave know? May I suggest that he listened because perhaps her life spoke volumes? Her life had been such a testimony that it gave credibility to her words? Maybe you're here today and you say, well, I'm not a pastor, I'm not a preacher, I'm not a Sunday school teacher. What can I do for the Lord? Look at the life of this little maiden girl. All she did was she told the wife of Naaman about a prophet in Samaria that could help her, help Naaman. She loved the Lord. She loved people. She loved those who were undeserving of God's grace and mercy. She prayed for her enemies. She did good to her enemies. Isn't that hard to do in our lives? Could we do what this little girl did? Not in our own strength, we couldn't, but she was filled with the Holy Spirit, because this is not something that a natural man, a natural person could do. You can't love your enemies this way. You can't just work this up and say, I'm going to try to love this person who's my enemy this way. No, this has to be a working of the Holy Spirit in the heart. This has to be a spiritual work of the Lord done to us. But what an example, what a motivation for us, how it should inspire us to look for opportunities, even in our difficulties, to serve the Lord. Now, do we do that as well? Do we take opportunities to serve the Lord when we're suffering? When something has gone against our will or against our thoughts or against our plan, do we look at that as, this is an opportunity for me to speak of the Lord, to spread His cause and to glorify the Lord? This is what this girl did. We don't know her name and we don't hear anything about her after this. But what a tremendous high mark in the story of Naaman. And she is, I'm sure, enjoying heavenly joys now, unspeakable with the Lord, because of her faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. See, the gospel of Jesus Christ is the good news that sinners need to hear and trust. Jesus died on the cross for sinners. His blood washes away sin. His righteousness makes the sinner perfect before God. And Naaman was encouraged with the good news that there was a prophet in Israel who could heal him of his leprosy. And I stand before you today and I preach the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners who were on their way to hell, sinners who deserve nothing but condemnation before a holy God. Jesus Christ came into the world to save people like that, to save people like you and me. That's good news. There's hope. There's hope for a sinful world. There's a message of good news that we preach. And that gospel, that good news, is Jesus Christ saves. Jesus Christ has the power to deliver from sin. If you're here today and you know you're a sinner, you know that you are lost, you know that you have this disease in your heart before God, that you are condemned before God, the good news is Jesus Christ came to save you. Jesus Christ came to love you and to bring you to everlasting life through His work and through His grace. Call upon the name of the Lord today. He'll save you from your sins. This was the good news that Naaman experienced. Well, Naaman's path to salvation continues. Not only did he discover bad news, not only did he hear good news, but he also now made a journey to Israel. Naaman went to the king of Israel with his problem. He went to the king of Israel with his problem. We read in 2 Kings 5, verses 5 and 7. And the king of Syria said, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy." And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore, consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me." Now, the little Jewish girl told Naaman to go to the prophet of Israel. But Naaman first went to the king of Israel. He didn't listen to the words of the little girl. When the king listened to Naaman's request, he rent his clothes because the king was in great grief and distress. See, the king feared that the king of Syria was looking for a fight. And by requesting the king of Israel do the impossible and heal Naaman would have been the provocation the king of Syria was looking for to start a war with Israel. So the king of Israel was powerless to help Naaman. Sending sinners to the wrong source or person for salvation accomplishes nothing. See, churches can't save sinners. Preachers can't save sinners. Only Jesus Christ can save sinners from the guilt, sin, and misery of sin. See, only Christ is the remedy from uncleanness. There's only one name under heaven whereby men can be saved, and that is Jesus Christ. See, Naaman was told to go to the prophet in Israel, but instead he went to the king, and he was extremely disappointed. How many times, sadly, do we see how people are sent to the wrong places for salvation? They're told to do this, and they're told to do that, and they're told to believe this regarding God. And if you just would sincerely embrace this and try to live the best way you can, that'll be good enough. But really, what does that accomplish? It doesn't accomplish anything. People are being sent to the wrong source for salvation, and they find themselves disappointed. They find themselves discouraged. They find themselves realizing that this person can't do me any good. This person doesn't have any power to help me. I'm still a leper. I'm still a sinner. I still have sin in my life. But see, he didn't listen to what the little girl told him to do. The little girl told him to go to the prophet, not to the king. And listening to the clear instruction from the Lord is so important when it comes to salvation, when it comes to pointing people to true salvation. There's no salvation in Allah. There's no salvation in Buddhism. There's no salvation in churches. There's no salvation in religion. There's only one salvation, and that's in Jesus Christ. Point sinners to Jesus Christ, therefore. Why point them to another place? Why point them to another source? Because if you point them to another source and they go there, it's not going to do them any good. It's not going to accomplish anything. They're still going to be dead in their sins. They're still going to be a leper, spiritually speaking. See, we need to learn from this transaction with the king that we need to point sinners to the one source who can help them with their problem. And that is the Lord. And that's what sinners need to hear. Now, sinners may not like to hear that. Sinners may insist that you help them. And we can help them to a degree. But ultimately, what do sinners need? They need to go to the right source. They need to go to the right person that could do their souls well. Maybe you're here today and you need to find the true source of salvation. You need to go to the right place for the forgiveness of your sins. Well, I can't save you as a pastor. And your mom and dad can't save you as a pastor. We can lead you so far. We can tell you about salvation. But you have to go to the right source. You have to go to the prophet of Samaria. You have to go to Jesus Christ, the one who saves from sin, who makes people whole, who cleanses the spiritual leprosy in our hearts. And Naaman must have been very disappointed after his conversation with the king. What's going on here? I was told to go to Samaria to be healed. Well, he didn't go to the right person, did he? He didn't listen to the little girl. Instead, he was going to a king who couldn't do anything for him. Couldn't make any difference in his life. Oh, that God might give us grace and opportunity to point sinners to the true source of salvation, and that they might go to that source and not to these other places where they will find great disappointment in their life. So after this disappointment, this initial disappointment that Naaman had experienced with the king, word came to Elisha, and Elisha said to the king, "Send him to me. Send Naaman to me." And we read in 2 Kings 5, verses 8 and 12, "And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, 'Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel.' So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, 'Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean.' But Naaman was wroth, and he went away and said, 'Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord, his God, and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharphar rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?' So he turned and went away in a rage." See, here Naaman comes to the man of God, Elisha, and Elisha was a man who walked close with the Lord. Therefore, he had authority and confidence before men. And when Naaman came to the house of Elisha, Elisha seemed to not acknowledge the visitor at his house. Naaman pulled up with his impressive entourage of gold and silver and raiment, but they didn't impress the prophet. Elisha didn't even go to Naaman, but sent his servant with a clear and simple message: "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times. See, Elisha was teaching Naaman that deliverance was on specific and precise terms. See, salvation is turning from sin and trusting in Jesus Christ. It's not in the sacraments. It's not reading your Bible. It's not in prayer. It's not in the machinery of the church. But by going down and washing in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. So we must humble ourselves. We must strip ourselves of our self-righteousness. We must strip ourselves of our pride. We must strip ourselves of what we think God ought to do. And we need to listen to God's precise and specific terms. And there are no other terms. Sinners can't come to God on their terms. They must come to God on God's terms. Notice the words in verse 11. Naaman says, "I thought he will surely come out to me." See, "I thought." Many say, "I thought." But what does God say regarding the truth about sin, salvation, and Jesus Christ? Many say, "I thought you could be forgiven of sin by doing good works. I thought you could be saved from sin by going to church. I thought you could be saved by being sincere or being nice to people." But see, the whole problem is people think wrong. "I thought." Naaman thought the wrong way. Naaman thought that his way was going to be the way God was going to work. And it wasn't. See, people think wrong. Sin perverts our minds and pollutes our thoughts. And the gospel of Christ changes us to think right regarding salvation. See, salvation is of the Lord. See, Naaman thought the prophet Elisha would do something big and dramatic to heal him. He'd come out And he'd call upon the name of his God, and almost like a lightning bolt would come down and it would strike Naaman with this spectacular miracle. You see, he had it all planned out. This is the way God's going to work. And it wasn't at all the way God was going to work. How many people today do we know? They say, I thought, I think God's going to do this. I think God is going to save this way. And it's all just based upon what they think. Salvation isn't on what men think. It's on what God has revealed in Scripture. It's what God declares in the Word of God. It's what God has shown us in the person and work of Jesus Christ. See, salvation is of the Lord. It's not of men. All that Elisha told Naaman to do was go and wash in the Jordan 7 times. See, divine salvation is all or nothing. You either listen to the Lord and receive the blessing, or you don't listen to the Lord and you don't receive anything. If Naaman washed 2 times in Jordan, he wouldn't have been healed. If Naaman washed 6 times in the Jordan, he'd be closer to 7, but still wouldn't be healed. See, Naaman had to wash 7 times to be healed from his leprosy. See, Naaman had to come to the place of total surrender to the terms of God. Sinners must follow the way God saves. God saves sinners only through faith in the person and work of Jesus Christ. There's no other way sinners will be saved. Precise and specific terms. And if you're here today and you think that you can be saved other than Jesus Christ, then you're still going to remain in your leprosy. You're still going to be dead in your sins. Like I said, Naaman, if he washed 6 times, he was closer to what the Lord said. But still, he would have still been a leper. People are close to the kingdom. People are close to the Lord. But if they don't come to the exact and precise terms, if they don't humble themselves and do what God says, they won't be saved, they won't be cleansed, they won't be changed, they won't be made pure. And what do we see? When Naaman obeyed God's way and not his way, he was cleansed of his leprosy. God made Naaman clean and pure, and this is what he does to sinners through Jesus Christ. We read in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red as like crimson, they shall be as wool." How does God do that? How does God make our sins as scarlet, as white as snow? He does that through Jesus Christ. He does that through the shed blood of our Savior. And it's based on those terms, those precise, specific terms. There's no other way that we can be cleansed from our spiritual sin, from our spiritual leprosy, than the blood of Jesus Christ. And hallelujah, Naaman did what the Lord told him to do. He obeyed the voice of the Lord, and he was healed. In closing, the healing of Naaman the leper is not just a story of the healing of a man from one of the most dreaded diseases of ancient times, but it is a story of salvation, one which illustrates the salvation man comes to find only in the personal work of Jesus Christ. Here then is a classic picture of God's love and how the Lord reaches out to sinners in utter darkness. May the Lord write His word on our hearts. May the Lord speak to your heart if you're here today and you still have that awful condition of sin in your life where you've never been washed, you've never been cleansed in the blood of Christ. I urge you today to humble yourself, to strip yourself of your pride, strip yourself of what you think the Lord requires, and do what God has revealed for you to do in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let us pray.